Phone Dog Podcast with your host, Noah from PhoneDog.com.
What's up, everybody? Oh, what's going on? It's Noah from Phone Dog. Welcome to Noah's Bark. It's Noah's Bark from PhoneDog.com, the Phone Dog Podcast. One more time. What's going on? Happy Tuesday to you. It's Tuesday, September 23rd, 2008. This is Noah's Bark from PhoneDog.com, the Phone Dog Podcast, episode number 3. Happy T-Mobile G1 Google Phone launch day. Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by nobody. If you're interested in sponsoring the podcast, you know what to do. You know what to do. Drop us a line, infodog@phonedog.com, or head over to the website, www.phonedog.com. Contact us. We'll hook it up. You can sponsor it. It'll be the best thing you ever did besides marrying your significant other. Today on the show, we're going to talk live to Doug. Mega Doug, Doug Rusin is live in New York City at the Google Phone T-Mobile Google launch event. We are waiting his phone call to get some hands-on info on the launch event and the phone and all that good stuff. So stay tuned. It's Noah's Bark with me, Noah from PhoneDog.com. It's the Phone Dog Podcast for Tuesday, September 23rd, 2008. Stay tuned. Big news, obviously, this week and today is the launch of the first ever Google Android-powered phone. T-Mobile and Google held a big shindig in New York City this morning. I did a live blog. I watched the webcast from here in California. I'm a little under the weather, hence my whiskey and cigarettes voice. But I did a little live blog of the webcast, and meantime, our own Doug Rusin was in New York City covering the event live, and I think, in fact, the phone is ringing. Is that Doug on the line? Let's see. Bear with me a second while we hook up the phone connection. Doug? Doug, are you there? All right, so we've got Doug on the phone. Our very own Mega Doug. Doug Rusin just escaped the big launch event in Midtown. Doug, where are you, man? How you doing?
Doing good. I'm at 2nd Ave and 59th Street, about a block away from the convention center slash restaurant.
You made it. You made it out alive. Okay.
Yep. Still a reel from the madness of the event.
So So I was able to watch the webcast, which was, you know, they had cameras set up, kind of filming the event and everything. But obviously, didn't get any hands-on time with the G1. Were you able to get your paws all over the phone?
I did, in fact.
And I did. And what do you think?
I gotta say, thumbs up.
Yeah?
It's pretty cool. I mean, one of the first things I honed in on was the touchscreen, just because whenever, you know, a lot of touchscreen phones have come out, and I've played with, you know, one in particular, which is a great one. I don't know if I can say the name.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, I always compare them to the iPhone.
Sure.
And frankly, a lot leave a lot to be desired. This one, good touchscreen.
Really?
Very responsive. It has a long touch feature, which brings up contextual menus, or else works as like a right mouse click.
Yeah, brought up a bunch of dirty jokes in my head right now, but we'll leave that alone.
Yeah, so that's what they call it. They call it the long touch.
The long touch.
So like you can hold down on a file, say that it's on your little desktop. And there's a little bit of haptic feedback that lets you know when you've actually grabbed it, and then you can drag it around, put it in the trash, move it somewhere else on your screen. Sorry, I am on the street here in New York. There's a lot of trucks going by.
Did you get hit by a motorcycle? What happened?
No, that was some kind of truck with a lot of pipes and wires sticking out of it.
It's the Apple truck. They're sending it out to bash all of T-Mobile's landline connectivity.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And you know, with the QWERTY keyboard in combination, that just gives you more options. Plus, the trackball will also navigate around the screen.
And did those all the trackball and the QWERTY board and stuff? Did you get a chance to mash on those a little bit?
Yeah.
How are they? They responsive? They felt good?
Yeah, they did. They did. You know, the trackball would have been great if it was actually a cursor, mm-hmm. so you could use it just like a mouse. But you know, it jumps from area to area. It jumps from you know, the live areas, whether you're on icons or in a web page, it'll go from link to link.
Right.
It doesn't have the pinching that the iPhone has, which is a great feature where you can zoom in and zoom out fluidly.
So were you able to tell? Is it multi-touch? At all, were you able to do anything with more than one finger on the screen, or no?
No. Unless there's something I didn't know about.
Right.
Long touch was the only extended touch they had.
Right. And so I haven't actually seen the phone in person, so you know, I can't really say, but I personally, from the photos, thought the phone looked kind of ugly. What was your take in person? And you know, if you think it looks cool, tell me, because I'm, believe me, there's kind of a argument going on amongst people who've only seen photos.
The models I had there, they had both black and white, with black keyboard and aluminum keyboard, well, aluminum backed keypad.
Was there a brown? We heard there was going to be a brown one. Was there a brown phone or no?
Not at the convention center. They didn't have any demo. They had 50 phones there. They were all black and white.
Okay.
How does it look? It's good enough.
First blush, would you see it and be like, wow, this is cool, what is it?
Not necessarily. Okay. If I saw what was going on screen,
right.
I might be like, hey, that's cool, what is this? And the screen, I don't think is quite as big as an iPhone, but definitely much bigger than your average phone. And it feels good in the hand. I mean, in terms of appearance, I would also include with that just sort of, you know, the tactile design. Like, it feels good to hold. The flip action is nice. It's sort of a little swivel hinge. It doesn't slide straight up.
Oh, okay.
It kind of pops up in a little arc.
Right.
Look-wise, you know, it's a little boxy.
Is it big? Is it bulky?
No.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry. You're the guy who's in Midtown Manhattan. I should let you talk.
I was going to say it's not bulky. I think it might be slightly smaller than an iPhone. But then I'm thinking, you know what? I don't own an iPhone and hold one every day. And so I really can't say that. It might be exactly the same size.
Is it possibly
a little thicker in profile.
Is it larger than your 9-year-old Samsung flip phone?
Yes, it's actually quite a well. Wait, open or closed?
Yeah, good point. One thing I was kind of concerned about is because of the way it's designed, when you hold it horizontally and slide the screen up to get to the keypad isn't centered; it's offset to the left. Did that pose any problems in terms of, you know, holding it in your hand, balance, being able to reach both thumbs over, or did it feel pretty natural?
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even notice that.
Okay.
I was thinking. When you said that, I was thinking, what are you talking about? And then I thought, oh, no, I guess that is the case.
That's
but,
good.
You know, it may be that it is centered. There might be as much space on the left from the buttons as there is on the right when it's open.
Oh, I see. The keypad itself is right.
Yeah, and the screen is directly above the keypad.
Right.
One thing is that for the view to change from vertical to horizontal, you have to flip open the keypad.
Mm-hmm.
Or go through a menu. You can't just tilt it and have the
there's no accelerometer.
Orientation change.
Yeah, I was reading online that either there isn't an accelerometer or there is, but they haven't.
There is an accelerometer. The guys who founded Google. Oh, you saw the press event, yeah? When they had the guys from Google showed up and talked about the app they had built.
That's right.
Throwing it up in the air and see how long it would take till it hit the ground.
Yeah, it was early here in California, so I was watching it, but I might have forgotten something.
Okay.
There was an earthquake, and that's when the earthquake happened, and that's why I missed it.
Another cool feature of the accelerometer is with the Google Maps. When you go to Street View, as you tilt the phone up and down or turn it side, you know, in a 360, it pans the Street View to the orientation of the phone.
Whoa. Wow. Okay. So you do need, and they were saying, in order to use the phone, you have to have a Google account. You have to sign in with your Gmail login or what have you. There's that movie Eagle Eye coming out soon. I don't know if you've seen the previews, Doug, with the people who call the cell phone and say, you know, jump off the building now.
Indeed.
Yeah. When you
in
just
fact,
said
when you called, I thought that's who it was. But go on.
It's Noah from Eagle Eye. When you just said that about tilting the phone and the Street View panning, I was just thinking, like, man, Google's going to just track everybody with, you know, you get an Android phone, you have to have a Google account, they can monitor everything you do, et cetera, et cetera. Do you feel a little less secure in your whole, you know, life? Do you feel like Google planted a chip in your sneaker while you weren't looking and now they're tracking you? Or do you feel pretty good about coming out of there thinking, nah, it's a cool phone, you know, Google's not going to mess with me?
Well, you know, if I'm hiking in the Alps and I get lost or something, I think it's great that Google can come find me.
Good point.
You know, in terms of my day-to-day life, I prefer not to have the chip implanted.
All right, fair
enough. Although, you know, maybe I do want to know what's on sale at the store right next to me, so it's a trade-off.
Yeah, did they showed off that the shopping application with the barcode scanner thing?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know what, they talked about it. I didn't actually go look at it that closely.
Did you happen to notice, and these aren't things necessary that you would have, but did the camera, does it have a flash?
Oh, I did not notice the flash. That would have been a good question.
Is there a headphone jack?
There is a headphone jack. It's a USB headphone jack.
Okay.
I was told by an inside source that he thought it would be shipping with headphones,
right,
but wasn't 100%.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can't plug a standard 8-inch headphone jack into that.
Right, that HTC dongle they'll probably ship with. And I'm sorry, you were saying about the camera, 3 megapixels?
Yes.
Cool. Anything else that struck you about the – do they have food at the event?
You know, they did, but I was determined to get footage before I ate, and by the time I was done getting footage, I managed to have
– Can I call you Anderson Cooper from now on with that determination? You're standing out in a hurricane and nothing but a T-shirt? Nah.
I did manage to eat a little after the footage. I got some folded ham on what I believe was a scone and a cup of coffee.
Interesting. How was it? Thumbs up, thumbs down on the food?
I give that 2 thumbs up. In fact, I wish I was back there eating more right now.
Well, I'll tell you what. Go get yourself a slice on Phone Dog, all right?
All right, very good.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else about the G1 phone or the launch event or anything that struck you that we didn't talk about?
I'm sure there is. My head is swimming.
But you got some good...
I got to say, overall, just like very cool device. Beautiful convention center as far as the event goes. The location was excellent. You know, the food that I saw floating by looked excellent, but, you know, they had a lot of phones available. They had a lot of people present. No, like, rock, you know, big bands playing or anything,
right.
But,
you get some good,
straight to the point.
Some good video footage of the phone in action?
I think so.
All right, cool. We'll look for that on the Phone Dog channel later. All right, I'm going to let him go. He's our man, Doug, Mega Doug, as we like to call him. Doug Rusin, live from Midtown Manhattan, coming out of the T-Mobile Google G1 Android phone launch event. Doug, thanks so much for heading out to the show and getting the coverage for us. And
thank you for having me on the show.
We look forward to checking out the footage up on the site later on today. All right, we'll be back in a moment with more. You're listening to Noah's Bark from ThornDog.com. All right, so our own Doug Rusin from Midtown Manhattan, just out of the T-Mobile Google press event to launch the G1 Android-powered phone. $179 on contract, available for pre-order to T-Mobile customers today. Although the last time I tried, I couldn't pre-order it just yet, but by the time you listen to this, probably will be available. Will be in stores and shipping October 22nd in the U.S. It'll be available shortly thereafter in the U.K. in November, and then elsewhere in T-Mobile land in Europe, Deutsche Telekom, later on this year. So the Android phone, the take, you know, it's a big deal. And bear in mind that this is just the first of many Android devices we're expecting to see. Sprint, we know, is on board. There will be a Sprint Android phone, I'm guessing sooner than later, and all other kinds of stuff. You know, personally, I was hoping for a little bit slicker of a visual design. I haven't seen it in person yet, you know, but as Doug said, it's you know, when you actually use it, the software, the screen, the QWERTY board, that kind of thing, that's really makes it. So I'd like to see this, you know, I'd like to see Android on an HTC Touch HD or a Touch Pro. I'd like to see Android on a phone that has QWERTY, that has a 3.5mm headphone jack, that has a camera with flash and video capture, all that kinds of stuff. And I'm sure we will see it before too long. This is just the beginning of a big play by Google to move into the mobile phone space, take some, you know, do more to try to put Microsoft out of business, frankly, and get more people using Google's cloud apps, all of Google's apps that run not off of your computer, but off of, you know, the internet cloud. So all the Google apps, the documents and the calendar and all that stuff. And the G phone or the Android, the G1, is going to have all the syncing goes on behind the scenes. So you don't plug it into your computer to sync it with your calendar. It syncs on Google's servers. So it'd be really interesting to see how that works. If it's as easy as it sounds like it could be, you know, this could be big. I could see people who aren't techies, who aren't necessarily smartphone people, really getting into it and really liking the idea that, you know, it kind of sounds like it's going to do what Apple's Mobile Me was supposed to do, but hasn't really worked all that well yet. No exchange support out of the box. There's the dogs barking. No exchange support out of the box on the G1. Maybe that'll be coming third party. You know, they're going to lean heavily on the third party development community to build out the functionality that doesn't exist yet. No stereo Bluetooth, no video capture, from what I understand. A couple things that people will be upset about. But again, you know, you can look for both of those things coming from third party developers soon. All right, let's take a quick dip into the mailbag. And again, as Doug mentioned, just to reiterate, there's lots of coverage of the G1 on phonedog.com. There will be much more. There'll be video coming as soon as Doug gets a little more food into his system, gets home to his office and edits the footage, gets it online. So by the time you listen to this, most likely on the PhoneDog channel, youtube.com/PhoneDog, or on the site, just go to phonedog.com. You'll be able to see all of the footage hands-on with the T-Mobile G1 with Google. That's the official name, the first Android-powered phone. Again, $179 on contract from T-Mobile. Also, T-Mobile lit up their 3G network in a bunch of new markets this week. Here in the San Francisco Bay Area, I've got 3G coverage. I've been playing around with the Sony Ericsson TM506, and I haven't, you know, it shows up. The 3G network shows up. I did a speed test, and it was not 3G speed, so I'm going to play with that a little more, see what the deal is. But officially, by the time the G1's available on October 22nd, I think they said 21 total markets in the U.S. with 3G, and then 27 markets by the end of the year. Anyway, we'll be back with the mailbag. You're listening to Noah's Bark. It's the Phone Dog Podcast, episode number 3, with me, Noah, from PhoneDog.com. Stay tuned. Let's dip into the mailbag. Oh, what lurks in the mailbag this week? Our first question is from Goang. Goang asks, "Hey, I was just wondering about the LG Dare. I heard from a friend of mine that the touchscreen is hard to use because it relies on pressure, not the electricity in your fingertips like the iPhone does. He said it's harder to press buttons. My question is if this is true, and if it is, can you change the sensitivity of the touchscreen? Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. 5! Goang, thanks for the question. Yeah, the Dare is what's called a resistive touchscreen, not a capacitive screen. So like your friend said, it reacts to the pressure from your fingertips, not the conductivity. So it is definitely not, it is a little bit harder to use than the iPhone. You can adjust the sensitivity. I personally didn't think it was too bad to use. I personally thought it was easier to use than some other resistive screens, like the Instinct, for instance. I thought the Dare was a little easier to use. You can adjust sensitivity, but it's only going to help so much. It's not a capacitive one like the iPhone or like the new HTC G1. Thanks for the question. All right, DJ Matty. Hi, Phone Dog. I have the question. Samsung Omnia, does it have dual SIM cards? Please help me. Greetings from Poland. Oh, thanks. I like the international questions, definitely. No, the Omnia does not have dual SIM cards. It only has one SIM card slot. Thank you for the question. Okay, moving on. Surf2 wants to know, hey Noah, my name's Zach. I have a few questions about the HTC Touch Pro. I wanted to know if AT&T will activate an unlocked version, and is it going to come out for Verizon Wireless? Yeah, thanks for the question. You don't have to activate it. You just, if you have AT&T, if it's an unlocked phone and it's GSM, which the Touch Pro is, just pop your SIM card out of your AT&T phone, pop it into the Touch Pro, and it'll work. HTC has a really nice system that'll auto-detect your network and configure your settings for your voicemail and messaging and email and all that stuff. I tried it with the unlocked Touch Diamond on T-Mobile. It worked like a charm, so I assume it'll work just as well on the AT&T. The only question would be about 3G connectivity, so make sure that you get the Touch Pro, the version that's compatible with 3G in America, with AT&T's 3G band, because the European versions won't give you the 3G data. Is there going to be a version for Verizon Wireless? Yes, there will be. It looks like they're going to be on about a 30-day delay from when Sprint gets it. So in other words, Sprint just launched the Touch Diamond. We should see a Verizon Touch Diamond in a little less than a month. Sprint's launching the Touch Pro in October. About a month after that, should see it on Verizon. But also, it looks like there's going to be a Touch Pro on AT&T called the Fuse. So you might just want to wait for that, because then you can, in your message, it said you're currently on Sprint and you want to switch. And if you pick it up on AT&T, if you're willing to sign a contract, it'll be a lot cheaper than buying an unlocked one. So there you go. All right. LL Cool J wants to know, hey, is this the real LL Cool J? If it is, man, hit me up. LL Cool J wants to know, hey, I wanted to get the BlackBerry Storm, but I don't know when it's coming out, and I really want the LG Dare. Which one should I get? Well, the Storm, you know, should be coming out sometime within the next month or so. I can't tell you which one to get because I haven't tried the Storm. And there's a lot of talk about this new, it's a touchscreen, but when you push it, it clicks, and is that going to be any good and that kind of thing. And really, honestly, if you're interested in the Storm, I would say just hang tight, just wait. It should be out, you know, in a month or so at the most, and try them both. Because with these phones, you really, it's not just about the features, but you really have to try them in order to know. So there you go. All right, Casey wants to know. I think we have time for one or two more. Casey wants to know, hey, Noah, love your reviews. They're accurate 100% of the time. Yeah, I don't know about that, Casey, but I appreciate it. Anyways, on to my question. I am currently on AT&T and want to change very badly to Verizon. My parents don't want to switch, but I made peace with it. Well, good. It's important to find peace. I made peace with it, and I'm trying to find a phone that can compare to a Voyager or the Glide. Please help me out. Are there any phones currently out that compare with the two I've mentioned, or any that will come out, maybe the HTC Touch Pro? I'm looking for something that's similar to the Verizon, to the Voyager or the Glide, something with a QWERTY keyboard. Thanks. Yeah, I've been getting this question a lot lately, Casey, actually. People want an AT&T messaging phone. Not necessarily a full-on smartphone, but a phone with a QWERTY keyboard, you know, something like a Sidekick or an NV2 or a Voyager or Glide, whatever. Just yesterday, posted something on PhoneDog. You can go to PhoneDog.com or go straight to my page at PhoneDog.com/Noah, and you can see there's a little article up there about the NIC. It's a UT Starcom phone for AT&T that showed up. I forget off the top of my head which blog I saw it on, but obviously, you know, when I post, I give credit to the people who found the stuff if it wasn't me. That's how the blog world works. That's why it works so well. Anyway, saw that it was photographed somewhere with a little information card that maybe it was in Gadget Mobile. Maybe it was Darren Murph who picked that one up. Anyway, a little card showing a Radio Shack logo next to the AT&T logo. So the NIC maybe out soon on AT&T, maybe out in Radio Shack stores as well. It looks much like a Sidekick. It's got the, you know, you hold it the long way and slide the keyboard up, and it's got a, or slide the screen up. It's got a keyboard underneath. Kind of low-end specs, you know, 1 megapixel camera, GPS, you know, everything is GPS these days, but GPS, some of the other services, maybe mobile TV, though, so maybe not so low-end. But that's kind of the only thing I can think of that fits the bill for you. There's the Pantech Duo, which is more of a smartphone. I don't really like that phone. I think it's kind of bulky and not really worth it. And then, of course, the HTC Pro, as I mentioned, I keep hearing it's going to come to AT&T, but be called the Fuse. But that's more of a high-end smartphone. It's a great device. I'm really psyched to get my hands on one for a review. But it's more of a smartphone than a messaging phone. So you might want to check out the Nic. That's definitely a hole in the AT&T lineup right now, is that whole messaging thing that's, you know, cheaper, easier to use than a smartphone. So there you go. What else? What is your email address? Basketball somebody wants to know, what is your email address? You can contact me at infodog@phonedog.com. infodog@phonedog.com. You can direct any of your questions, comments about the site or anything directly to me through that address, and it will get to me. And again, if you've sent questions, comments via YouTube, via the website, via whatever, I do try to answer them all. It just takes a little while sometimes, so please bear with me. All right, one more question. Let's go. DC Rocks wants to know, hey, Noah, I'm currently on Altel, and I'm wondering if you could tell me which phone is better, the Moto Rocker Z6M or the LG Scoop. I'm used to my Razer V3A, and I love the style of the Rocker because it slides up and has a 2-megapixel camera. But on the other hand, I have wanted a Scoop for a long time because of the keyboard and everything. I was also wondering if you could tell me if I could get one of those phones and take it to Cricket, because I think you can. Anyways, thanks. All right, DC. Unfortunately, I don't have Altel service where I live. Altel just doesn't work, so I can't test Altel phones directly. That being said, I have used, you know, versions of the Moto Rocker and the Scoop. I've used the Rumor on Sprint. Honestly, you know, they're two kind of different phones, so I can't really tell you what to get as much as I can tell you if you want the QWERTY keyboard. If you do a lot of texting and you like the QWERTY keyboard, then go for the Scoop. You know, the Rocker Z6 does not have a keyboard. It kind of boils down to that. If you don't want the keyboard, it sounds like you really like the style and features of the Rocker Z6. And, you know, when people ask me in general, when I get the question, you know, what phone should I get, this one or that one, I always answer the same way. It depends what you want to use it for. I mean, if they're two very similar ones, I can answer. But in a case like this, you have to decide which is more important, the style of the Z6 or the keyboard on the Scoop. So I hope that helps. All right, that's all the time we have for the mailbag. Quick phone dog doghouse lightning round. Really, there's two phones in the doghouse this week. The T-Mobile SETM506. It's a Sony Ericsson flip phone. I'm going to give this one a thumbs up because it's the first T-Mobile 3G phone. It's also, I think Sony Ericsson makes a good phone, even though they've been floundering a little bit lately, especially with the high-end stuff. But for their kind of low-end mid-range phones, I think their user interface is very easy to use. Their predictive text is great. The Walkman feature is great. This is a nice little phone. The color scheme, the black with green, the one I got, a little funky, a little weird, but feels good in the hand. It's slim, good screen. The buttons are pretty easy to press. And, you know, it's 3G, so I'm looking forward to putting it through its paces. The other one, of course, is the G1, the Android phone. I haven't used it yet, so my first glance on the launch of it and everything is a thumbs up. It's honestly, for the device itself, it's a little bit of a thumbs down because I was hoping for something a little more flashy and stylish, and there's no headphone jack, which is always a big thing for me. But, you know, the whole launch of the Android platform is a big thumbs up. Very excited to see what this does to the mobile industry, to the computing industry, competition for Microsoft, competition perhaps for iPhone. You know, getting Amazon involved, another player in the mobile music and video market, is huge. 89-cent track downloads is huge. Really excited to see what becomes of Android. And I'm excited to see T-Mobile making some news, man. You know, I like to see competition. I like to see the little guys turn it up. So hopefully Sprint can follow in T-Mobile's path with the next Android phone and really, you know, give Verizon and AT&T some competition, which is definitely needed. I love them all. I just like to see the competition. It's good for consumers. All right, kids, that's all the time we got. Thanks so very much to Megadug for covering the G1 launch event live in New York City. Thanks to all of you for listening. Don't forget, you can subscribe on iTunes through the iTunes Store. Check it out. We're in the new and notable section this week under technology, which is cool. If you like the show, please leave comments. Please leave a rating. If you don't like it, you know, tell us that too. Send us an email, rate us on iTunes, whatever. We'll be back next week. Have a couple guests hopefully lined up for next week, including somebody from LG who was involved in the whole Lotus launch. And looking to get a couple other guests on to maybe talk Android, iPhone, and whatnot. So come on back. This is Noah from Phone Dog. You've been listening to Noah's Bark, Episode 3, September 23rd, 2008. It's a PhoneDog.com production, and we are sponsored by nobody. You want to sponsor us, you know what to do. We'll see you next time. Thank you.